I want us to notice some scriptures about the kingdom of God. First one I want to notice is Psalms 140. Let's see here. 145. This is David's psalm of praise. It's a wonderful psalm. But he mentions about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And let's start in verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Isn't that a wonderful God that we serve? He's good to everybody. His tender mercies are over everything he does. I'm glad, as we heard this morning, that we can look to the Lord if we've failed or come short or marred in the hands of the potter. We can look to him and he can help us. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. You ever been blessing the Lord lately? Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, O Jesus. I like to sing that song, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. It's wonderful. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. You know, God has a kingdom. He rules and reigns in the eternal realm and in this world. His kingdom is going to rule over all. I'm glad we can be a part of that kingdom. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. You know, we need to talk about it and speak about it and testify about it. I'm glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. I'm a citizen of the United States, but I don't know, that citizenship don't seem to be very promising anymore. I don't know what's going to happen. We've got characters running this country that just pitiful, but I'm part of the real kingdom. I'm part of the kingdom that'll never fail and never die and never go down. Oh, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Praise the Lord. And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Oh, I thank the Lord for the kingdom of God. And we can be in. Now let's go to the book of Daniel. Now, you probably know where I'm going to try to read, don't you? In the second chapter, I'm not going to read it all. It's kind of lengthy. But this king, old Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. And he forgot what his dream was. And so he called for his wise men to come and tell him what he dreamed. Why, they said, nobody can do that. He's just asking something that wasn't right, and he just got so mad he was just going to just destroy all the wise men of Babylon. But then Daniel heard about it, and he came to the king, and he put in the pleas, to give us a chance. And they went home, and him and his three friends, and they prayed, and God revealed to them the dream that Daniel had, or that the king Nebuchadnezzar had. And so he came back and he told him what the dream was. He said, now you saw a great image. And it said, it's verse 31, that this great image whose brightness was excellent, Daniel 2 and 31, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And then he said, thou sawest till the soul was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were of the iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone which smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is a dream. Now he Daniel told the king what the dream meant, what the interpretation of it was. And said, thou, king, verse 37, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. You are the head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as the iron breaketh in all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And was thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, thy kingdom shall be divided. There shall be in it the strength of the iron. That's the fourth kingdom. Has strength of iron, and then it'll have like clay in it. It'll be all mixed up. And it said, whereas thou, verse 43, thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now then, we know that the first king first with a head of gold was King Nebuchadnezzar. The next one was the kingdom of Medes and Persians. They come and took over the kingdom of Babylon. The third kingdom was the Grecian kingdom, the kingdom of Greece. It took over. And then the fourth kingdom was the Roman Empire. And it was strong, but it had lots of other stuff mixed in with it. And then it said that in the days of these kings, now in the vision, he saw that an image, a stone smote the image on his feet, and it hit it in the Roman Empire, and the wind blew it all away, and the stone which smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And now verse 44 tells what this is. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's, isn't that something how the Lord gave that king that vision? Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and interpretation thereof sure. Well, so that was the kingdom of God, what he's talking about there. That was a stone that smote the image on the feet. It hit in the days of the Roman Empire. While the Roman Empire was a-going, God set up his everlasting kingdom. I'm glad to know about this. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to the New Testament and see where this kingdom starts in. Praise the Lord. I want to notice first in Luke chapter 1, part of which the angel told Mary. Now let's see. Yeah, he told Mary that she was going to bring forth a son, and said he, verse 33, Luke 1 and 33, she'd be great, she'd be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You see, now it's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God that's going to come by Jesus Christ, going to come and set up this kingdom by the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And then we find over in Matthew, the fourth chapter, after Jesus had been baptized and witnessed by John the Baptist, and then he had gone out and had spent some time out, 40 days fasting out in the wilderness, and was tempted of the devil and overcome the devil. And so then Jesus came back, it says in verse 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and that's in Isaiah 9, and says, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is approaching. It's coming. Repent. Give up your sinful ways. Straighten up your heart and life before God. Yield to him, because the kingdom of heaven is approaching. It's coming. It's right at hand. And so we find then Jesus speaking in many different places in his teachings. In the fifth chapter there, the first thing that we have recorded, when he opened his mouth there on the mountain, to the mountain, the people in the mountain, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. That don't mean poor literally, but it means poor in your heart and estimation of yourself. Realize how needy you really are, how destitute you are, how you need God. You know, there's just a lot of people, they don't think they need God. They're just going their own way. They're not poor in spirit. They're not seeking for something that is real and well and precious. No, they're not poor in spirit. But Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'll never forget the message Brother Austin Wilson preached. I won't go into that, but that was the message he preached on poor, being poor in spirit. That was his text. And I'll tell you, he covered it good. I'll never forget it. I had it on tape, listened to it so many times. It was just wonderful, and it's in my memory, and I thank the Lord for it. Now I see another something he says about the kingdom. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, we go through and be faithful in the trials and tests of life and be victorious and be faithful to the Lord. I'll tell you, dear ones, we can rejoice because we are part of the kingdom of God that will never be destroyed. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we're going to suffer some days. You're going to have some hard times. But I'll tell you, dear ones, the kingdom of God is worth it all. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, he gives a lesson here about those who give alms and help, and they do it in secret and not trying to show themselves off. And then he talked about how to pray. Enter into your closet, verse 6. When you shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret. He tell them how to pray there. And then in verse 9, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Notice the thought, one of the first things of his prayer, after he addressed God, hallowed be your name, sacred, dear, precious, wonderful, loving is your name. He said to say, thy king, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now, you know what this to me, this expression here is, thy kingdom is welcome. Let it come and take over my life. Let it rule me in every part. Thy kingdom is welcome. Can you say that today? Will you want the kingdom to live and dwell in your heart and life? Oh, the kingdom of God is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Let's go to in the same sixth chapter on down where he speaks about take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, verse 25, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. And then he spoke about how the fowls, they don't sow or reap, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says, why take ye thought for raiment? And verse 28, how thought about the lilies of the field, how they don't, they grow, they toil not, they don't spin, but Solomon wasn't even arrayed like one of them. And then he goes on and says, if God clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Wherefore take no thought, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For oft after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But what does he say do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added. You know, that's the answer to a lot of people's troubles. They need to seek the kingdom of God. They need to seek to be born again. They need to seek to be ruling and reigning in the kingdom of God. Let it rule and reign in them. That's the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God that they spoke about in Daniel and they spoke about it in Psalm. This is the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is welcome. I want your kingdom, Lord. Save me. I tell you, dear ones, that's how I was able to get a hold of the Lord and get a Christian life started 57 years ago. I was able to do that because I sought for it with all my heart. I sought for the Lord. I got saved and gave my heart to the Lord in the summer of 1956. And I lived for the Lord and did my best. I wanted to be sanctified and filled with the Spirit. I went to the altar at Monarch and I tried. I did my best to seek the Lord. Brother Fred prayed with me, but I seemed like I couldn't get a hold of it. I wasn't satisfied, but I thought, well, I'll just trust the Lord. I'll just trust the Lord will help me. I didn't know what else to do. So I went on from Monarch. I went on through the fall years. And then that year we had the assembly meeting. And it was on the first Sunday night of the assembly meeting in 1956. And I was there in that service that night, and dear Brother Murphy Allen got up that night to bring the message. How many of you remember Brother Murphy Allen? Oh, he was a precious. He's one of my precious treasures. He's a memory. Brother Murphy Allen. Oh, he got up and his message was he even had to ask a brother where the scripture was that he wanted to use. And old brother Stevenson sitting over here on the side, he told him where it was. And he said, started in and he said, I've got a scripture. And you know, Brother Stevenson spoke up and says, yeah, Hosea 10 and 12. And so that's what the scripture was. And that's a scripture that says, if you'll seek for me with all your heart, you'll find me. What? Yeah, it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, for it is time for you to seek the Lord. And that was his text. And I'm telling you, brother and sister, that man preached powerfully that night. It was wonderful. I don't know, I don't imagine there's any of you here that remembers that message. It was wonderful. And I sat there on the front seat, kind of on the side seat. I sat there and I told myself, when he gets through, I'm going to that altar and I ain't getting up until I get what I need in my soul. And sure enough, after a while, he got through with it. Oh, he preached powerful. Oh, dear old brother Abbott sitting over there got so happy, jumped up, leaped and shouted. And just, oh, it was just wonderful. And I was really convicted. I said, I'm going to seek the Lord for the Holy Spirit. And I ain't getting up until I get what I need in my soul. And then after a while, he said, well, get a song. And I'd just like to see this altar filled, he said. And so they just start singing the song, number 399, I believe it is, shall I die without a Savior? Shall I lose my precious soul? Oh, I was at that altar. Right on the end, not this one here. It was the old altar we had over there in the chapel at Guthrie in town. And there I bowed out, and I tell you, I prayed. I didn't care who heard me. I prayed up to the top of my voice with all my heart and soul. I wept. I prayed. I begged God to send the Holy Spirit and fill my soul. And I wept. And dear brother O.C. Porter, our pastor, he was right there praying with me. And dear brother Barton, he come up and put his hand on me and he was praying. And I was a praying. And brother Murphy Allen, he says, Lord, help him. Oh, I was just pouring out my heart. And I want to tell you, something happened that night. All of a sudden, something come down from heaven. It went in the top of my head and it went all down through my body. I could feel it up and down my backbone. Oh, I come up off of that altar with the Lord burning in my soul. Oh, I was shouting praise. I just praising the Lord and thank him. And you know, dear ones, I'm so glad I sought that. Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. Praise God. Oh, young people, if there's any of you that haven't found the kingdom of God, you're missing out on the best thing there is. Yes, you sure are. You need to take time and not give up and stop until you know you're right with God, and then consecrate and die and yield and submit to God and let the Holy Spirit come into you. The Holy Spirit is the agent and the realm of the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the good Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. I tell you what, I had a desire to be a draftsman. I wanted to draw pictures of things. I took 2 years of it in high school, and my teacher, he just thought I was going to really do good at that. But I tell you, after I got right with God and started living for Him, I gave all that up. And my father was so, he wanted me to get a job and make good money so I wouldn't have to work hard like he's had to work with his family. And when he heard that I wasn't going to go to college, the time had come for me to go and start going to college. I just didn't do it. It just hurt him. It made him feel so bad. Oh, he wanted me to. But you know, here once, I'm glad I did. I consecrated my life to the Lord. I started living for Him. I'll tell you, He has supplied my needs. He has blessed me. He gave me a godly wife. Oh, yes. We've been happy together for 53 years. You put the kingdom of God first, dear ones, and everything else will work out. That's right. Young people, you hear me? Oh, if you don't seek the kingdom of God, you're going to come up short. You're going to miss out on everything. But if you get the kingdom of God in your soul, praise the Lord, you're going to have something. Matthew 11, I want to notice a scripture. Oh, may the Lord. I thank the Lord for His wonderful kingdom. Matthew 11 and 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent takes it by force. The kingdom of heaven, it suffers violence. Now, Luke 16 and 16 says, from the days of... No, let's see, I'm going to get that. Luke 16 and 16, the kingdom of God... Well, I'll get it here. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, in the Greek, this thought here where it says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, that is the same words as this here where it says, every man presses into it. It just somehow got translated in a different way. Every man presses into it. The kingdom of God is preached, and you've got to press your way to get into the kingdom of God. It suffers violence, and the violent takes it by force. You've got to mean it with all your heart. I know that's what I did. I sought it. I pressed. I sought it. I wept. I prayed. I poured out my heart, and God put the kingdom of God right down in my soul. Praise the Lord. Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful. The wonderful kingdom of God. Now, I want to go to Luke 17 and read another scripture that has been so precious to me. 17 and 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, you know, people back in those days, they were expecting the kingdom of God to be set up on earth. That's right. That's one reason why the Jews rejected Jesus, because he didn't set up a kingdom like they thought he should. But it was not that way. Now listen, here's what the Pharisees, they demanded of Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And this is what he said. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now what that's really saying is, the word observation here, I don't know if you have a Bible that has definitions, but that's what that word means. It means the kingdom of God comes not with outward show. Why? Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, somebody finish that for me. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. Now I have one, some think that means the kingdom of God is among you, but that's not the Greek word. The Greek word is within. The kingdom of God is within you, not in your belly, not in your head, but in your heart and soul. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God is within you. Praise the Lord. This is spiritual kingdom. A kingdom that will reign in the heart of people and help us to live godly and have the victory and be holy and pure and righteous. Oh, thank the Lord. Let's see. There's another scripture about the... Oh, let's go to John 3. And notice the man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what that again, the real word there is? Born from above. That's the real meaning in the Greek. Born again. You're born one time of the flesh from your mother and father. But now you need to be born from above. You need to be born a spiritual birth. That's what gets you into the kingdom of God. To be led, be anointed and fled by the Holy Spirit of God. That's as many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Romans 8 tells us that. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? He's just trying to figure it out in a fleshly way. For can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now that water is not literal water. That water is the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. The Word and the Spirit. You can be born again, have a spiritual birth from the Word of God, the gospel, the teachings, the commandments, the precepts, and the Spirit of God. Working together can bring about a birth that puts you into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now let's go to Romans 14 and 13. Now you probably know what that one is. Oh, praise the Lord. We got a song in our book that I am thrilled. I just feed on that song. Number 32. The kingdom. What a kingdom. Oh, thank the Lord. Verse 17, Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not literal things, although it involves things you do and say and all in your life. But it is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wonderful. Oh, to be in the kingdom of God. That's the most wonderful blessing, a wonderful experience you can have. Yes. To be born again into the kingdom of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, if you've never had it, I beg of you, don't give up. I want to tell you, it beats everything you could ever have in this life. It beats an old, nice, pretty car. It beats a nice, pretty house. It beats everything you could ever have, bank accounts, and all these things. Makes me think of another scripture. In Matthew 13 and 33. 44, no, 44. 13 and 44. Let me read you this. The kingdom of heaven. This is one of Jesus' parables. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure. It's a hidden treasure. It's not revealed to the proud, to the worldly, to the lustful, to the wicked and evil of our general. No, if you just want to have the old flesh and live after the flesh, you don't see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. As long as you're going after the flesh and the material things, money and pleasure and all this junk we've got in the world today. I tell you, dear ones, I'm glad I found something that's everlasting. Someday I'm going to be through with this old car. We got a pretty good old car. It's got 180,000 miles on it, but it's going strong. But you know, one of these days I'll be through with that thing. I don't want it anymore. There's so many of those old cars running around. It's awful. And the same way with every other thing. But listen, this kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And that's what you need. Amen. You can have it. You might say, well, how do you know when you get it? You just go ahead and seek for it with all your heart. You'll know it when you get it. You won't have no problem with that. God will make known to you the kingdom of God. Oh, I love that text there. He found, when he found this kingdom, when he heard about it, and he saw what a wealthy, blessed, holy, wonderful thing it was, he just hid it. He just didn't try. No, you don't try to talk to people about it in the world. They'll turn you off. They'll get you off on the wrong way. You just commit it to the Lord, and you go to seek in the Lord in prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come in my heart and my life. I want to be a part. I want to be holy and pure. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Oh, praise the Lord. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is. Let's see. No, it's chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want to notice verse 9. In 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that if you're not righteous before God, you will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither be not deceived, neither fornicators. We've got a lot of that junk going on in the world today. It's awful. Men and women, so terrible. They don't have the kingdom of God. They're not about to have it as long as they participate in all that ungodly stuff. Neither fornicators nor idolaters. You know what an idolater is? What does the scripture say idolatry is? Covetousness. The love of money. You know that just possessing many people today. And it's idolatry. You won't have the kingdom of God as long as you have that. Nor adulterers, double marriage, pitiful, what people are doing today. Yes. Nor effeminate. You know what that is? Women with women. We've got that raging in the world today. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You know what that is? You know what it is? It's this old man for men. It's awful. You can't have the kingdom of God when you participate in all that junk. Nor thieves. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You won't have it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Starting at verse 18. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now he's going to name them again. He'll name some like he had the other. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's looseness of morals, No standard, just anything and everything. Envies. No, let's see. Lasciviousness, idolatry, that's love of money, witchcraft. You know what that witchcraft is? The Greek word is pharmacia. Pharmacia, drugs, medicine. That's what that is. Witchcraft. Well, I'm trying to find out. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, false doctrines, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You involve yourself in some of these things, you are not in the kingdom of God, and you won't get in till you give them up. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's not just passion and affection. That's real godly love, holy love for God and for others. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Can you recite them? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. Praise the Lord. They that have Christ have crucified the affections and the flesh with the affections and the love. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm thankful. I thank the Lord that I found my way and entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And I've lived for the Lord these many years. I'm still in there. It's still raining in my heart. It's still blessing my soul, inspiring me, comforting me, guiding me, helping me. Praise the good Lord for the wonderful kingdom of peace.